Station this morning, and a shifting of all the scenes. He starts chapter 4 with meditata. Remember, meditata always carries the idea in this particular case form. After something is through and done with, something else takes place. Something new is introduced. Meditata, and this verse starts and ends with it, to emphasize it. After this, meditata, after the church age, the things which are is all through and done with. I saw and behold a door standing open in heaven. That's the tense. We find an open door twice in Revelation. Here and in 1911. I always like to say, here it's to let us in 1911 it's to let us out. When we come back with Jesus Christ, when he comes back in his great revelation to earth with all of his saints. But here, at the same time John is caught into heaven, prophetically or typically, we're caught up. I like to think that, because John from now on out sees this from a heavenly grandstand seat. Not a participant anymore, but a spectator. He comes back to earth a little later, we shall see, by the tenses used. But here he sees so much from heaven. And the words that he hears from heaven, I believe you and I will hear at the rapture. I'll tell you why. Now remember, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You've got to say something. What will he say? Well, there's a rule of hermeneutics. If God does anything twice, he'll do it three times. One of the illustrations of that, out of many, is Christ cleansed the temple twice when he was on earth. Once at the beginning of his ministry and once at the end. And we read in Zechariah he's going to do it again. When the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple and cleanse it. Well, twice we read a voice coming from heaven saying, come up hither. Here to let John in chapter 11, to let the two witnesses in to heaven, when their bodies have lain in the streets of that wicked Sodom on earth, Jerusalem, for 3.5 days, and then suddenly they're made to stand upon their feet alive, and a voice comes from heaven saying, come up hither. Well, that's twice, when individuals are called up into an open heaven. I think that's the next thing we hear. I like to think so anyhow. May not, but I like to think so. Maybe before this class is over, we'll hear that come up hither, and we won't go out through the door, we'll go up through the ceiling to be with him. Now, notice, as soon as this took place, he was in the Spirit. But notice what he wanted him to do. I will show thee things which must be meditata. After the church age is over. The things which are. And at once is the Greek. I became, or it could be paraphrased, I found myself to be in the Spirit. This is the second out of four. The first one was in 1 11, I believe it is. This is the second. And now it's to see the throne of adjudication set up from the third heaven down into just above the earth. I don't know whether it'll be in sight of the earth or not. I know that many that proceed from that throne are seen here on earth. Like the angel in mid-heaven having the everlasting gospel, or the Greek is in mid-heaven two or three times. We'll come to it a little later. John is in the spirit to see this throne set up, to see the Lamb come before the throne and take the book, and to see him break the seals and to pour out the bowls and everything until chapter 7 when he's in the spirit again to see the mystery and understand the mystery of the great scarlet woman. And immediately in the spirit I beheld a throne 12 times in Revelation. I mean in chapter 4 and 46 times in Revelation. This throne is mentioned, or the throne is mentioned. 12 times in this chapter. Thronos. 46 times in the book. It's the book of the throne. And I want you to notice in particular this set in heaven. The word set means to lay, to actually set up the throne. Establish it in a certain place. And it's not set up till the end of the church dispensation. Turn with me to the 7th chapter of Daniel, and Daniel saw the same thing. Verse 9 of Daniel 7. The context shows you it's the end of the tribulation period. I beheld till, or rather in the tribulation period, I beheld till the thrones were set. I should say after the church's rapture. And the authorized version misses the point here when it puts cast down. I don't know what the word meant in King James day. They maybe might have been all right. But the Hebrew, the Septuagint, you notice Scofield puts it in the margin under note B in the margin, set up, and it agrees with Revelation. I beheld till thrones were set up, placed in a new location. And the Ancient of Days did sit, the same one we're going to see here in Revelation 4, whose garments were white as snow and the hair of his head were like unto pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. Now, skipping down to verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Here's the one taking the book. Came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion, glory, a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall never be destroyed. This is the same throne. Until thrones were set. A throne was set. We'll see this as we go along. In heaven. And one sat on the throne. The same Ancient of Days of Daniel 7. And you notice there isn't any particular description given of him. He's a figure of a man, but a theophany. But there's no description. There's a description given of the four living creatures, we shall see later. And he that was sat was to look upon like. Now here are a few similes. Remember, the simile is applied by trope or metaphor to a subject. He looked like this, but he wasn't this. But this is the appearance. He sees this rainbow crown throne with two primary flashing lights from it. One of a diamond, which gives all the colors of the rainbow, and the other red of the sardine stone. The jasper is a diamond. The sardine is the sardis, which is a brilliant red stone. It shows that in wrath God remembers mercy and the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to go very briefly through this text here, and then we'll go on. And these similes he was to look upon, literally, like a diamond, as in 21:11, where it was clear as crystal. And a sardine or sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, which is green. That's exactly how it looked. I think we'll see it right after the rapture. It looked just like this. We'll see the 24 elders. We'll see the four living creatures. We'll see the innumerable multitude of angels. Best of all, we'll see the one on the throne and his Son, Jesus Christ. And circling about the throne were 24 thrones. The word seats here is thronoi. Thronoi, the plural of thronos. Thronios, thronoi. Thronoi. And these 24 thrones circled the throne of God. I want to read the description here, and then I want to comment on it. There have been almost as many theories about these elders as there has been about the living creatures, and most of them wrong. Let's look at the description first, the occupation, and then I want to give some reasons why these are heavenly creatures, not redeemed humanity. As most say. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders. Elders appears 12 times in the book. Sitting clothed in white raiment, priest garments. And they had on their heads stephanoi, crowns of victors. These are heavenly rulers, we shall say. Now, I have a great number of commentaries on Revelation. I've gleaned a few ideas from some of them. Most of them make them symbols of something else. Now, nothing here is said about being a symbol. Similes are given, but they're not symbols of anything. They're creatures in heaven. People have a hard time realizing that heaven is populated with ranks and orders of creatures. The Bible gives several. We give them a genealogy and try to identify as many as possible. But I don't believe they exhaust them. Remember, there are an innumerable company of angels. There's a hierarchy of heaven that seems to keep on going until it reaches the throne of Almighty God. I don't believe God's told us everything that's in heaven. I believe we are going to be utterly overcome, not only by the glories, but the creatures in heaven, created by Almighty God in ever ascending. Power, glory, might, rulership, as Paul in Ephesians and Colossians gives them in governments and thrones and authorities and dominions. And he names several different categories of heavenly creatures in the heavenlies, as he said. Now, there is a real temple in heaven. No doubt about that at all. For the one on earth was patterned after the heavens. Paul's very emphatic to say in Hebrews 9 and 10, to make it after the pattern shown, and God commanded to make it after the pattern of the heavens. There is a tabernacle in heaven. There is a most holy place, or an inner shrine, a Naos, N-A-O-S, which is the Holy of Holies, the inner shrine in heaven. There is a mercy seat in heaven. There is an Ark of the Covenant in heaven. The one on earth was made patterned after that one. And Jesus sprinkled his blood on that one in heaven. Well, now, if there is a temple in heaven, if there's an altar of incense, as we shall see in chapter 8, where an angel offers prayers of saints on it, an incense, there must be a priesthood in heaven. And here's the interesting thing. In 2 Chronicles, there is a... there was a priesthood of 24 elders in the earthly temple. I'll come to that in a minute. Let's see a few peculiar ideas about these 24 elders as earthly creatures represented in heaven. Cites, and I recommend him, is back in print again. He said there are a special group of redeemed overcomers of the saints of all time. Ford Ottman said it's Israel and the church. So does A.C. Gabelein. Others, they're particular heads of the church. Pastors, cardinals. Some say Old Testament dignitaries and New Testament martyrs. That doesn't exhaust them. There are two dozen more. Let's see why we believe these are heavenly creatures. Not earthly, not symbols of anything. They're real creatures in heaven. I believe they're one of the first things we'll see, like first thing John saw. After he saw the throne and he that sat upon the throne, I believe immediately around that throne we'll see 24 seats of throne. Now, I know that they say, oh, but angels don't wear priestly garments, so they're not dressed in white, only overcoming saints. Oh, yes, they are. The two that spoke to the disciples who came to the tomb of Jesus were dressed in white. The angels who met the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration when they stood there gazing into heaven, they were dressed in white. There are heavenly priests. We shall see them in chapter 8 offering sacrifices on the altar of incense in heaven. They wear crowns. Paul said so. They're rulers in heaven as well as rulers in hell. Notice a few reasons why we believe these are literal heavenly creatures and not symbols of the church. 12 is not a number of the church, nor a multiple of 12. 2 times 12, or 144,000, which is a multiple of 12. 12 is not a church number. Now you say, what about the 12 apostles? Well, wait a minute. The 12 apostles were to sit upon 12 thrones doing what? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why they had 12 apostles. Now remember, there were more apostles than 12, but there were 12 for this purpose. 7, 3, 1. These are numbers of the church, not 12 or multiples of 12. That's a Jewish number. And a heavenly number. Second, these are crowned before Jesus gets his. He's not crowned till the end of the tribulation period. He's not crowned at the beginning of it. These are crowned as soon as John's caught up into heaven. He sees them crowned. I mean, they're already crowned. Wrong time. We'll see the same argument is against the rider on the white horse being Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, it's not Christ. It's mixing up the symbolism a little bit. These are sitting upon thrones. and they're crowned. And seen that way as soon as the church is raptured. Well, Christ is not crowned until 7 years later. Are we going to get crowns before he gets his? We should be glorified together. And we co-reign with him. Jointly. Third, their song is creation song, 4:11. Until Christ takes his rightful place, then they join in the song of redemption in chapter 5. But in chapter 4 is creation song. Fourth, they offer the incense as the prayers of the saints, as heavenly priests in 5:8. They're heavenly priests in 5:8. Five, in chapter 7, they are set in distinction from the saved of Israel and the special election of 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude. We'll see when we come to the right place that the authorized version in chapter 5, when they sing this song, thou hast redeemed us. Us shouldn't be in there at all. It's supplied by the translators. In fact, there is no object at all in the Greek. Men, the revised version says, thou hast redeemed men. Some versions say, thou hast redeemed them. The Greek is, thou hast redeemed from the earth. No object at all. It's supplied to make good grammar. Yes. I haven't come to 7 yet. In number 5, in chapter 7, 9 through 12, you'll see the elder there distinguished from the redeemed. He suffered from them. We'll enlarge upon that when we come to it. But number 6, if the 24 elders are redeemed humanity, so are the living creatures. The Zoar, we shall see, in the next crowd around the throne. And they can't be. We'll prove that beyond any shadow of doubt. Yet, most commentaries make them redeem humanity. These august heavenly creatures can't be redeemed humanity, the four living creatures. Utterly impossible. But number 7, John said, I saw 24 thrones, and I saw those that sat upon them, crowned and white-robed. Now, if you say he didn't see that, but he just saw a symbol of something else, then you better prove it. I take it just like you said. I believe the symbols in this chapter, there's only one symbol in chapter 4. Now, there are similes. There are metaphors. There's only one symbol. Now, a symbol, remember, is something over here representing something over here, misplaced. The only real symbol in this chapter, and they really are metaphors probably, but still you could say they're symbols, and that's the 7 eyes and 7 horns on the Lamb. Now the Lamb is Jesus, no doubt about that, we see it here. But the 7 head, and the 7 eyes and the 7 horns are explained by the Holy Ghost. They are the 7 spirits of God. They're the Holy Spirit in his ministry in the Lamb of God. In Isaiah 24:23, we could take so many texts here. This lesson could go on indefinitely. For there are so many things we could bring together. In Isaiah 24:23, and it's the same time. The moon confounded and the sun ashamed, and the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. And the word ancients in the Septuagint is presbyteros, the Greek word for elders. Same one used in Revelation 4, 24 elders, presbyteros. The same one in the Septuagint in Isaiah 24:23, and those are in heaven. He rules before his ancients gloriously. me ancients, presbyteros, elders. In 1 Chronicles 24, 7 through 19. Take that text down. 1 Chronicles 24, 7 through 19. The earthly service of the priest in the tabernacle was to be led by 24 courses of elders. 24 courses. And they had the angel or messenger of the course, the head one, Zacharias is one of them, ministering when John the Baptist was born. His father was head of one of the courses. He was one of the elders in the temple at Jerusalem. They still had it going until the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Now, the one on earth was made patterned after the heavenly, so the heavenly must have 24 elders too. Don't ask me why. Couldn't answer. All I know is God knows what he's doing. And there is a religious service in heaven. The whole thing. There is a temple in heaven. There are priests ministering in heaven. He's a part of it. Now, going on, I want to get a vision of the throne as he sees it here, and there's so many texts you could take for that one. Verse 6. And before the throne, the Greek is in the prospect from the throne, spreading out from the throne. There was a sea of glass. We shall see. This is the most peculiar glass, like the New Jerusalem's most peculiar gold on earth and anywhere. It's transparent gold. And this is a peculiar glass. I'll show you how peculiar in 15:2. It's not just glass like on earth. Here's the diamond prospect. Here's the jasper. It is a clear expanse underneath the throne. This is what Ezekiel calls it, seeing the same throne in chapter 1. A clear expanse underneath the throne. The nearest thing on earth is like a sea of glass. But 15:2 says, mingled with fire. Mingled with fire. This is what Daniel 7, as we read it, saw this. That's fire proceeding out of the throne of God and from the sea of glass. He's going to describe it with some similes because that's all he can do. Let me ask you this question. Right after the rapture, will we say the half has not been told or the billionth has not been told? Is there any way that the scriptures could actually help us to understand what it will be like and what heaven's like, what the New Jerusalem will be like, what the throne of God will be like? Can any human language describe it? Paul, when he was called up to the third heaven, said he saw things not able to be mentioned. The word lawful is not a good translation. The idea is not the ability. You can't bring it into human language. All through Revelation, John takes the things as close as he can find on earth that looks like it, and he says it's like that. But how much more so? Here's the throne of God and the one sitting upon the throne and the rainbow round about the throne and the mingling of all the fire from the colors of the rainbow of a diamond, then especially the red sardine stone, and then especially the emerald. And then the 24 thrones around the throne of God. With 24 august heavenly ruler angels. There are ruler angels, don't kid yourself. You read Job 1 and 2 and you'll find when the sons of God came up to give an account of their rulership. And the fallen cherub had to do the same thing. Lucifer says, this earth is his throne. Now, this sea of glass, this prospect of the throne, I want to read a couple of three other texts to go with it. In Ezekiel and Exodus both, we find this great expanse, clear as crystal, underneath the throne. Solid, yet transparent, glassy, mingled with fire. Not the turbid sea of glass on earth. I mean the sea on earth, with its raging waters and all. Here is a placid sea, mingled with fire. Look at Ezekiel 1:22. Over the heads of the Zoah. Now remember this, as we'll get the pictures from Ezekiel and other places. The four living creatures are under the sea of glass, carrying it from one place to another. And over the sea of glass is the throne of God. So here, over the heads of the Zoah, or the living creatures, same as here, the likeness of the firmament or expanse of the heavens. Upon the heads of the living creatures was the color of terrible crystal, awesome crystal. In Exodus 24:10 and 11, and they saw the God of Israel, and a throne was under his feet, as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, that is a diamond. As it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. How wonderful. It's all the same place, the same throne of God, the same sea of glass, the same fire proceeding out of the throne of God and mingling throughout the whole expanse. And the living creatures, we shall see the keepers and conveyors. The protectors, the servants of the throne of Almighty God. We'll see them. Now, in the time remaining, as we have to hurry, look at the four living creatures. And the word beasts is an awful translation. There's another word for beasts in the book of Revelation. Therion. T-H-E-R-I-O-N. Therion. Wild, ferocious beasts. Occurs 35 times in the book of Revelation. As in chapter 13. The first beast and the second beast. That's right. Beast should be there. That's Therion. The word here is not the word for beast. The King James translators didn't know what to do with this word, zoon. Now, zoa is one. Z-O-A. Zoa is one. Zoon actually is the Greek verb to be, connoting existence, existing one. The Revised Version, accurately following the Authorized Version in Ezekiel 1, translates it living creatures. I guess you can't get any better than that. Or living ones. Well, you read the description and try to fix something on earth with which to compare it. I know we have the four faces, one like an ox and one like an eagle and one like a lion and one like a man. In Ezekiel, as you do here, same identical throne of God, same living creatures. These are august creatures. Now, we'll see that Ezekiel identifies them in the 10th chapter. They are the cherubim. Yes, in the Septuagint over there. Of course, the Hebrew would be different. But the Authorized Version, I believe, accurately translates it, living creatures, over in Ezekiel 1 and in Ezekiel 10. But over here in Revelation, this beast is not a good translation. It doesn't mean that at all. If it is, then I'm a beast. And you are. We're living creatures. We're Zoan. All of us. For it is the verb to exist, or living ones. Now, it isn't the verb for inanimate objects. It's for living creatures, living things. We get our word zoology from it, which means the study of living organisms. Now, let me read the description here, and these are peculiar creatures. They're august creatures, and I think we'll see them just exactly like they looked here. Now, he brings down to human understanding the picture, and I'll show you some of the wild schemes, and even the one I got when I was at Trinity College. Four living creatures round about the throne. Full of eyes, like Ezekiel. One. Full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature, Zoah, was like a lion. And the second living creature was like a calf or an ox, a young ox. Or young steer is the Greek word. And the third living creature had a face as a man. Not a man's face. These are not men. As a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now you'll see a difference between this and Ezekiel. Each creature in Ezekiel has these four faces. But John here, as he's caught up into the third heaven, sees just one face upon each creature. The one that was toward him, I guess. Now, I'll find another discrepancy here in a minute. A difference in the wings. But I believe it's a difference of description. Same creatures. I don't believe there's any difference at all. I'll prove it in our next lesson. We won't get around to today. And the four beasts, or living creatures, had each of them six wings. Round about him, encircling him. I think this is why the seraphim of Isaiah 6, and I don't believe they're different creatures at all, had only four wings and two hands. Here we don't see any hands, we just see the six wings. The hands were underneath the wings. And they were full of eyes within, and they have cessation, not by day or by night, saying, holy, 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 the Trisagion. T-R-I-S-A-G-I-O-N, Trisagion. It has the idea of thrice holy. Trisagion. Same song the seraphim cry in Isaiah 6. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Pontakrator, which was and is to come. See, our time is practically up. These four living creatures, the Zoan, or Zoah plural and Zoan is singular. I believe I misled you a minute ago. Z-O-A is plural. Z-O-O-N is singular. Long O and then short O. Zoan is the singular, and Zoa is the plural. I don't know why I mixed that up a minute ago. All kinds of false ideas. Some say they're the four evangelists, some the four greatest church fathers, some the church militants, some the church on earth, some the eminent church leaders, some glorified saints of special eminence. Some say the glorified church, some symbols of the redeemed, some the four cardinal virtues, some the four forms of divine government, some the four sore judgments of God Almighty, etc., etc., etc. They can't let them be what God says they are. They've got to make them something else. They can't understand them so they can't allow it. It's got to be brought down to earth. They don't represent anything but themselves. These are literal heavenly creatures. In our next lesson, I want to take you to Ezekiel 1, and then I want to take you to Ezekiel 10, and of course, we'll refer to Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel 28, various places where these cherubim are mentioned. The devil was one of them before he fell. It's why he fell from such a great height. He fell from being a keeper of the throne to a usurper of the throne, an antagonist of the throne, seeking to not only usurp the throne, but destroy the throne of God. These are heavenly creatures, and we'll prove it in our next lesson. Give you a number of reasons why. Yes, sir.